is Sid Mars here, and you're watching Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, you got to do something about Pennywise's balloon. It's going down again.
I know. I was noticing that the other day. It didn't even last as long as the first one. So I'm going to have to figure something out. I was like, you can't keep them inflated.
joining us on this episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast is a wrestler from down Texas way. We are talking about, of course, the insidious one, Sid Mars. Sid, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Ooh, I'm happy to be here. Spooky time.
Yes, absolutely. We love spooky time, and you know, your name just screams spooky. So let's start at the beginning. I know you're down in Texas. What got you into wrestling?
So I actually was not allowed to watch wrestling growing up. I have two parents that are in the medical industry, and the second they saw us trying that stuff, it was banned. So I didn't really get to experience wrestling until I was an adult. And I got to go to an independent wrestling show with my older brother, and I fell in love with it. Honestly, I'm a performer. I've been performing for over 25 years in different mediums. And after seeing these people like Keith Lee, Ricky Starks, Matt Palmer, Izzy James in the ring, telling these stories and being, I mean, just the athleticism of it alone, I fell in love. I mean, it took one indie wrestling show for me to go, oh, this is amazing. Now, I'll be honest, I was a fan for about 2 years before I even thought about getting in the ring at all. What I saw that made me go, okay, I want to do this, was Joshi wrestling. The first time I saw Japanese women wrestling and those girls kicking each other's ass, I went, oh, I got to do this. Yeah, I'm ready to do this.
Those girls don't play.
They do not play, exactly. So that's kind of where my love spawned into it. And I, like I said, just a fan for 2 years. And like I said, finally, that was what it took, was seeing those girls. They're so powerful and they're so strong. That's what I wanted to do.
Okay. That's awesome. So who did you train with initially?
So initially, I actually went to a bunch of different schools. I was an orphan. I trained at Hybrid for a second. I trained at MPX for a while, in Odessa for a minute. And I finally landed myself at Reality of Wrestling, training under Booker T. So that experience in itself has been, I mean, it's been amazing for me in my formative years of becoming a wrestler. And once I got to Booker T school, everything changed. I learned how to really wrestle. I wrestled for about a year. I wouldn't call it wrestling until I really got to Booker school and got to learn what it's all about from somebody of his caliber. And I still love it there. I'm still a student at heart.
Yeah, never stop learning. Yeah, we got a guy up here that's like that. Every time they ask him how many years he's been in the business, he'll say, well, I don't count the first 2 years, but it's like,
exactly.
You know, I've got to say, I watched Booker T from, the age of about 15 or 20 until now. And I don't think you could have gotten a better teacher than Booker T in that case. And, you know, I've seen his Reality of Wrestling shows, a couple of them, and he's a solid school and a solid teacher. So, you know, kudos for you to getting such an amazing talent as a teacher.
Blessed, just lucky to have been able to have the opportunity to uproot myself and go.
Yeah, I say I have a training center up here in Columbus, Ohio, but once I seen his on YouTube and how his was all set up and he had the multiple rings and all the gym equipment, I was like, man, I need to shoot for that. That's what I got to go for. Like, he looks like he's got an amazing setup there for you guys.
Yeah. It's amazing. It is. Having those multiple rings, being able to have, like, you know, we have beginner, intermediate, advanced training. We've got people training us there like Gino Medina. I mean, you can't ask for a better spot to be. I'm a little biased.
Right.
That's okay. You're allowed to be. So, so you wrestle for Reality of Wrestling. And I saw, as I was going over some of your information, that you've also done some work for Mission Pro with Thunder Rosa.
I actually wasn't able to do the show that I was booked on because I was exposed to COVID. So I'm still waiting to get my Mission Pro debut in there. And I was supposed to be on their very first inaugural show and broke my collarbone the week before. The second time I broke my collarbone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She was, Thunder Rosa was actually the first superstar we ever had on the show over 2 years ago.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, okay, so you've broken your collarbone twice.
Yes, sir.
Was it during a spot that you broke it, or?
So the first time I broke it was in training. It was just an accident that happened in training, and I spiked my shoulder on the mat, and it snapped. The second time was at a live show. It was at Anarchy Championship Wrestling, and I was given a move incorrectly. I was given a German suplex where the person was holding me wrong and dunked me right on that shoulder that had a metal plate already, and it snapped right next to the metal plate. I knew immediately that it was broken. It took nothing for me to know. Oh, yep, that it's here and go. Here we go again. Wrestler not to be named who did that, but I'll admit, after we were done, the guy said to me, I knew I was holding you wrong. And that's the horror of negligence in wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Common sense tells you if you're holding them wrong, don't do the move.
Just reset. Not a person in the crowd is going to bat an eye if you reset and you're safe.
Right. Yeah. Live and learn, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, speaking of injuries, what all other injuries have you had? Is the collarbone the only injury you've had?
No, I also suffered a torn hamstring, and that just happened training as well. I also had my nose broken, and this was actually before a Reality of Wrestling show, and someone was kind of learning how to do code breakers, and I was working with them. They went to give me a code breaker and just kind of bunny hopped with their knees up and drove my face right into their knee, and my nose was like John Cena to the side fully. You see how crooked that fucker is?
You can tell. That's for sure.
Yeah. So that one was pretty gnarly. And I had a spot that night and I put that mask on and I went out there and did my spot with a broken nose. Put it right back in place. So those are the major injuries I've suffered.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all you can do with a broken nose. Just put it right back in. And
yeah, exactly. People were asking me, are you going to go? What are you going to do? Are you going to go to the ER? I was like, why? For them to do exactly what I just did and pop it back. I mean, I could spend over $200 doing that, but I think I'll just go with it.
Right.
Oh, I've never broken my nose in my life, but it sounds painful, and I'll take your word at it.
I broke mine. I cracked mine in a match once, and oddly enough, it didn't bleed red. It just leaked clear fluid.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't think I fully broke it. I think I just cracked some of the cartilage or something, but yeah, it was like right in the middle of a match, and I just kept going, leaking clear fluid out of my nose.
I did have one match where I think I just got popped in the nose enough that it made me bleed, but I took an X Factor from somebody who also just drove my head down just enough, and I got turned about this far. My head got about that far before I smacked my face, and my mask filled with blood, like immediately filled with blood, and I choked on it a little bit. Luckily, it was the end of the match. So it was the finish of the match, but it was unfortunate. I had never really had a major nosebleed in my life. That one really got me. And honestly, when it was broken, I was covered in blood, but I was completely calm because I'd already broken my collarbone twice. I'd been through all these things. My spouse was there though, and they were mortified. They were ready to take me to the hospital. And I was like, dude, no, we're not about to do that. We had to go speak with Booker a little bit, and I had my mask on, and I looked down while Booker was talking to us and realized my shirt was just covered in blood. I was like, please don't ask me why. Please don't ask me why. He didn't. So I got away with it.
I think he probably knew. He just wasn't going to say nothing.
He wasn't going to embarrass me like that. Not this time.
So who have been some of your inspirations as you've gone on this wrestling journey? Are there any wrestlers out there that you look up to, with the exception of Booker T, obviously? But any other wrestlers, male or female, that that you get inspiration from?
So I'm a huge Tajiri fan. That is one that's high on my list, as well as Great Muta, really high on my list as well. Those two men are big inspirations to me. As far as women's wrestling goes, I have a lot of Joshi wrestlers. There's even a girl who's kind of just on the rise right now, just made her stardom debut, named Thekla, T-H-E-K-L-A. And she has a spider gimmick that I've seen a few spider gimmicks in my day. And, you know, I know crawling pretty well. I'm a decent horror crawler. And she's outstanding. And I encourage anybody watching this to go find her online because she is special. I really look up to a lot of the women who've been around for a while. Mercedes Martinez, outstanding wrestler. I really look up to her. I've got to do one seminar with her, and I would love to do another. Gianna Perrazzo is a big one influence wise for me as well. Asuka from WWE, known as Kana, back when she was in Japan, that was a huge influence for me, actually. The bleeding eyes, it comes along with a story behind the Insidious One, but it also was a little bit inspired by her when she had done some really great horror makeup in her time as Kana. Also, anyone watching this, take some time and look up those Kana matches, because you'll see a whole nother side of her. WWE didn't quite let her be the full-on wrestler that she is. She's brutal. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of some of my major influences.
Okay. All right. And what about horror influences with your character?
So believe it or not, I have the name The Insidious One, and everyone thinks it comes from the movie, and it does not come from the movie. It comes from the definition of the word, which is slowly, increasingly deadly. So that was the whole thing was with that. And so a lot of people assume, but it's actually not the case. And honestly, a lot of my inspiration wasn't so much from horror. It had a lot more to do with video games. I was a big fan of Mortal Kombat and Soul Calibur, and the crawling, one day it just felt right because it was creepy. My whole goal was never to be scary. It was to make people uncomfortable. That's what I want. I want to creep you out. Some people, I think, feel like creepy and scary are the same thing. I don't really agree.
No.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really agree. I think creepy is its own class. And that was what I always wanted, is people to see me, see that crawl and go, oh God, no, just heebie-jeebies everywhere. That's when I think I succeeded. I've made many children cry, and I take great pride in that.
There you go.
One wrestler I find creepy and not scary is Abaddon in AEW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. She's outstanding. She's got a great gimmick. She knows what she's doing. She knows who she is out there. So lots of people are always on the Twitter trying to get us tag teaming. So AEW, hit it up. Let's tag.
All right. You know, come on, guys. I know you're listening.
Exactly.
Look the girl up here, man. Come on. How do you feel about Rosemary and Impact? I've been a fan of hers for years.
Yes. I mean, definitely. I can't believe I blanked on her. Definitely influential. Oh, and Sue Young. Sue Young is another one of my major influences. And I was so fortunate to have a cage match with her kind of at the start of my career. And I it's somewhere online. I've hunted for it, but I need to find it and post it myself. But I was very green still, but that was one hell of a match. We had a great time playing off each other. But Rosemary as well, big influence. I had the pleasure of meeting her at Booker T School for a ladies' night out. And one scary lady. She is taller and bigger than you think. She is intimidating, but she's got a good heart.
I met her at the Summit in Canada a couple of years ago. It was an all women's show up there. I saw her. Bull Nakano was at that show.
Oh,
yeah.
I would probably, that's one of those ones where I'd get starstruck. I'd start sweating a little bit.
there was her. There was Allison Kay, Shotzi Blackheart, Jordan Grace, Rosemary, there was a whole bunch of talent there.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best right there.
Yeah. And I drove all the way from Ohio just to go to Toronto to see that show.
What a treat.
So how many years have you been wrestling now? I didn't even ask you that question.
So I've been wrestling for 3 years now, and you have to remove a year and a half of injury. Right. So I've been wrestling for a lot less time than most people think I have, but my actual career started 3 years ago.
Okay. All right. And out of all the talent you've wrestled to date, who do you think your toughest opponent was?
Red Velvet. She's on AEW. Red Velvet. That is one of my favorite opponents. And that little girl is a firecracker. And keeping up with her is a hell of a job. And like I said, one of my all-time favorite opponents. But I think that one was a big one. I also wrestled, her name's Allie Catch now. She was Allie Cat when I wrestled her. But Allie Catch is another really... That's a tough competitor. You better be ready for it whenever you get in the ring. So I see her going toe to toe with men all the time, and she can hang, but she's killer.
Okay. How are your feelings on Lou Fisto?
Oh, she's about to get put in some kind of Hall of Fame that I saw. Mm-hmm. And she's outstanding too. I think she's extremely underrated and kind of a mother of invention in a lot of ways for a lot of us. Right? Like, I think there's a lot of women who don't know how much she paved the way for us. So I'm a fan as well.
Mm-hmm. She's also been a guest on the show, and she was also at that event that I was up at in Canada, and it was a pleasure just to see her work.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's outstanding.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely an innovator of violence for women.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and the intergender matches, that's like one of her bread and butters there. Mm-hmm.
She can go. She's one, like I said, she's a major influence. And I think that more female wrestlers need to know that name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. Donnie, what mm-hmm. questions do you have for Sid?
Like I said, being that we got the training center and stuff, I'm kind of interested in the training aspects. Like I said, I've seen some of his cardio drills or blow up drills, whatever you want to call them. Including that, but as for that or just learning wrestling or philosophy, what is your favorite part about the training that Booker T and his team have provided, and what's the hardest part?
So my favorite part by far is film study. Getting to do film study with Booker T is, oh my gosh. I mean, it's mind blowing. Sometimes you sit there and you're like, I've watched wrestling for this long. And then he drops a bomb on you. Psychology wise, or just in something that you had no idea, and or just flips the script for you. And being in there with him, the amount of knowledge this man has, and he is such a storyteller, and it comes so naturally to him. I've learned a massive amount in that film study. Now, the hardest part is absolutely some of those drills that you see us doing online. Those blow up drills are no joke. They're what make us some of the best wrestlers out there, and Texas has a lot of really good wrestlers. So it's very bold of me to say, but you know, like I said, we got Gino in there. Gino and Clay Roberts run some pretty intense sessions. Ryan Davidson as well is one of the trainers there, and they put us through the ringer for a good reason. And sure, you might feel like you're going to puke. I've seen some kids puke. It happens. It happens. It gets you ready to be out there. So the hardest part is just the training in general, and especially those pro blow drills.
Right, yeah.
2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, unit 6137.
So if what's their schedule? How many days do they have you guys training? Is it 4 days, 5 days? How often does he have you in there?
The gym is open 5 days a week. So it's really, and you can be there at any of those days. We do have it. It's not like super structured necessarily. We'll have Mondays mainly are the beginners nights, but you can still come. I still will go on Mondays anyway. And we have multiple rings. So we can do every time we can do with the three rings that we have beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So, and I mean, our guys, our advanced guys on the roster, they still show up and train. Nobody thinks that they're above it. That's for darn sure at Reality of Wrestling. So, and they have their little curriculum here and there. Mainly the beginners have more curriculum and we get a little more freestyle in the intermediate and advanced ring, learning kind of just different ways to be innovative. So a lot of innovation whenever you're on that intermediate to advanced level. But yeah, it's open 5 days a week.
Nice. So it's kind of just like an open gym type format. You can go in and get some ring work in or some weight training or whatever.
Exactly.
Nice.
Very nice. And like you said, you're always training regardless of how much you know. Unfortunately, there are many wrestlers out there in the indie scene that think once they know it, they don't need to keep training. And then they don't get to where they want to be because they don't think ahead. But you've got to train constantly.
Absolutely. It's what it takes to be the best. And I've seen wrestlers debut and get worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on there.
Yep. Yep. I had a conversation with our trainers for the Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy and they laid it out for me in a way I didn't understand. I understood it, but it kind of made more sense to me. And they say basically your wrestling training that you start out with is just basically laying the ground level for you. And then you learn most of your work on the job training and then coming back and practicing. And, I'm a big proponent of learning. And I always say never stop learning. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the business, always keep learning and stuff like that. So that just goes, to kind of what you're saying. If they just get the groundwork and then they say, oh, I'm the shit, and they go out and start working and they end up hurting somebody. And, and like you said, they decline instead of improve.
Right. Absolutely.
They go from being the shit to in the shit.
Being the shit.
But any wrestler worth their salt has got to keep training in order to hone their craft.
Yes.
And it's a commitment. I mean, it's a career for some people. And it just never stops.
Yeah. It's weekly. It doesn't. You don't take weeks off. I mean, sure. There might be some days where you go 1 day or 2 days at the least, but there are not weeks off. That's one thing that I think people don't realize. When you really are a dedicated wrestler, if you're not at training, you went to the gym that day at the least. You have to.
Yep.
So let's steer the conversation towards horror a little bit. We haven't got there yet. I saw your eyes light up when I said horror. That's great. So tell me, like I said, this is the Wrestle Horror Podcast and we've talked wrestling. Now we're going to talk horror. I'll just throw it out there. Your favorite horror movie.
I don't have just one, but I think the one that I've been the most into recently that I've seen is called Await Further Instructions. And it is a very enjoyable one. I think it's British. It is on Netflix, and I don't want to be a spoiler. The concept is outstanding. It's a family within some turmoil that ends up dealing with some wild kind of government / alien shit. I don't want to ruin it because it's absolutely worth watching. But okay. Await Further Instruction is great.
I just wrote it down.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to see it. Got to see it. I really enjoyed it. It's got a weird kind of vibe towards the end of it. Other than that, something else I watched recently was called The Poughkeepsie Tapes. Don't know if you guys have heard of that one. And yeah. I thought that was really cool. I thought they did a great job at the documentary style of it. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where the guy is crawling and I was like, that's some Sid crawling right there. I was like, that's it right there. I love it. I could keep going on some of my favorites because it's really hard to just name one.
Go ahead. We're all about that.
Big fan of the movie Us. That's also one that's got a great crawler in it. Fast crawl that I absolutely love. Real big fan of the really cheesy Sleepover Camp movies. They're just fun, you know? I do like some cheese in there. The Ritual is one that I really enjoyed. Kind of has a Blair Witch kind of vibe to it. Really enjoyed that one. And, of course, a classic, The Shining. I love The Shining. I can watch it at any time, any day. I don't get bored with it. Franchise-wise, I love Saw movies. The first, like, really horror, gory movie that I got to see, and I'd stay up late, and my parents didn't know I was watching it, was the Saw movies. And I love gore and blood and guts and all that stuff. It's and I'm also big. I love to watch the shitty people getting what they deserve is one of my favorite things about horror movies. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my top favorites.
So you kind of like the revenge films, like the I Spit on Your Graves and that kind of thing.
Yep. Exactly.
I like them too. I'm the same way. I'm a big slasher guy, but yeah, the revenge films I'm a big fan of. And But should I drop the cheesy? She says she likes cheesy films. Should I drop it on her?
Which one?
The cheesiest of all.
No.
No, she ain't ready for that
one. What I was in? No.
Not the one you're in. No, the one I made you watch, made you and Chris watch.
That's right.
I don't know where it's playing right now, but there's a film called Girls with Balls. And it's basically... it's basically a girls volleyball team gets caught up in the Hills Have Eyes type setting.
Oh, nice.
And it was like so bad. Jim and his wife came into town for when we had the estate fair shows, and I made them watch it, and they were like, his wife was dying. She was like, we've got to turn this off. I'm like, nope.
that. Okay, that's duly noted. Girls with Balls. That sounds great. That sounds up my alley.
Yeah. It was hard to get through, but it was funny.
I love it. Well, I love the Mystery Science Theater when they're making fun of the absolutely terrible old ones. Oh, gosh. I think they do actually do Jeepers Creepers on one of them, and that is just, it's too funny. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Jeepers Creepers is one of my favorite franchises.
It's great. I'm a fan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And matter of fact, in the first one, the church they used for him to dump the bodies down, I was there before it burned down because I lived in Florida at the time, and that's where they shot it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I purposely tracked it down, and I got to see it before it got burned down by some vandals.
People are the worst, man. Humans suck.
There's a horror convention down in Lexington, Kentucky called Scarefest, and I actually met the creeper, Jonathan Breck.
Oh, so cool. Cool guy?
He was great, but here's how he creeped me out, okay? He and I are within a couple of inches in height to one another, and I went and got a picture taken with him, and he tried to sniff me like the creeper does.
I don't think I like that so much.
Right. My neck stood on end. It's like, no.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Please don't.
He was a great guy, though. Very, very nice. But he just had to do that. It's like, I cringed.
It's like there's fans like that, too. There's some wrestling fans where you're just like, I don't know, buddy.
All right.
Have you showered? That's the question.
Like fist bump.
Exactly.
How are you? Do you watch the Conjuring movies at all?
Yes, I did watch the Conjuring movies. I hated the most recent one. Like the most recent, I don't even remember what it was called even. But that one was the worst one to me. It just did not. I also, jump scares, weirdly enough, and my husband hates this, jump scares never get, like, it's got to be so good, and it pops me every time I actually get, like, jump scared, because it just doesn't happen for me, and so, like, nothing hit me in that movie, There was just nothing that hit me, but I do like the ones that were before that and really enjoyed those ones.
Oddly enough, and Donnie knows where I'm going with this. the first movie, The Conjuring, I'm a paranormal investigator.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we, myself, Donnie, our wives, and a wrestler named Shauna Reed, and a friend of mine, we are going to the Conjuring House to investigate it in September.
Oh, I hope you do a special on that, because that's just too cool.
There's going to be lots of video, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm here for it.
I've got all kinds of cameras that are going to be set up. I've got 8-camera DVR system set up. We're going to get as much video footage as we can.
Love it. Oh, that's so cool.
I got my adult diapers, so I'm ready.
Ready to go. Yeah.
I've never done them before. Got my defense. Yep. I've never done them before, so I'm excited to go do it. But I was like, if you're going to do it, you might as well go big.
Exactly. That was what I was just thinking. If you're going to do it, shit, do it big time.
Let's see. Donnie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I wanted to ask her because, I mean, she's into the horror, but the creepy crawly thing that she does, and like I said, both of us are into the haunted attraction industry too. You know, right. Jim's been in the haunt industry for many years. I've, you know, been in the haunt industry for a little while. I've had a haunted house or a haunted trail at one time. So have you done haunted house acting? I remember you said you had, you know, 25 years of entertaining experience. Is haunted house is one of those?
I have not, but I probably should. I do love those. Those are so fun. And the people are so dedicated, you know, so I really enjoy that. But no, yeah. I've actually never gotten to be a part of one.
Yeah, I'm sure if you give it a try, you'd get hooked for sure.
I know you do, but do you remember how it feels when you get a big pop from the audience, whether it's positive or negative?
Oh, yeah. Your character? Absolutely.
It's an
adrenaline. The reason we do it.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with haunted house acting.
Oh, yeah.
The first time you get that scare and that person jumps out of their skin, it's like a drug and adrenaline just flows through you and you just want to keep scaring more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I really, that's on my list now, things I need to try, because I'm telling you, it sounds so sadistic, but making little kids cry and scream and like hide behind their parents, I love it. I just love it. I'll say this, my new gimmick, it's not going to happen as much. You know, the Sid Meier's gimmick, I won't be able to scare kids as much. So that's something I'm going to miss about wearing that mask, is making children just hopefully have nightmares.
Yeah. Well, in the haunted houses, you'll be doing the same thing, but to a grown adult, right? Men.
Well, whereabouts in Texas are you?
I am in Houston, Texas.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're close to Dallas, I could hook you up with a haunted house.
Oh yeah. I lived in Dallas for about a year, but then I ended up, like I said, I uprooted myself to come to Reality Wrestling over here in Houston.
Well, if I know of any haunted houses down that way, I'll let you know. Maybe you can.
Please do. Cause that just sounds like a blast. Now I'm surprised I never even thought about doing it, being that I've gone to many of them, but I don't want to scare some people.
and to be honest, your crawling thing is actually an effective scare in a haunted house. You just gotta be careful not to get in people's way, or they'll like, kick you or hit your knee in the face or something.
That's my fear, is people just like fear punching, you know what I mean? Like just like, oh god, and just like swinging on somebody.
Oh yeah, that happens. So, uh-huh. I got hit twice last haunt season.
Oh shit, dude. Yeah.
Multiple times.
Oh yeah.
But see, I'm 6'4" and better part of 300 pounds. So they hit me.
About 5'2".
they hit me and I just look at them and they run away.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's even scary. Yeah.
But I teach people how to be haunted house actors too. And your crawling thing is one of the things I teach, because people are always expecting you to scare in a certain area, you know?
Right.
And when you come from below or above, it's way out of their comfort zone, and it is more effective than in that zone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had opponents who I've made very uncomfortable who said, I liked wrestling you, dude, but I just never want to have you crawl at me like that again, because I go fast. I usually the beginning of my matches, I tend to square up and I'm low to the ground, and I do charge at them. And I tell them, I'm really coming for you. You have to move or I will grab you. I, without hesitation, will put you down if you let me. And it's pretty terrifying. And I didn't realize until I had seen a picture that the way that I crawl, I don't crawl with flat hands. I crawl on my fingers. Mm-hmm. It hurts. And I didn't really think about it until I realized that was what I was doing. And I was like, man, that it makes your arm look absolutely terrifying, like a hook of some kind. So I was like, okay, I did that without knowing, and I like it. We'll keep that.
Different is better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, cool. Donnie,
mm-hmm.
You know what time it is.
Well, is it time for the question? All right. Yep. Here's a question we ask everybody that comes on the show, and there is no right or wrong answer. So it's not a test of knowledge. It's just, we want to get inside your mind and see how twisted you really are. And, you know, see if you're as twisted as the rest of us. So that question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
I have this really twisted fantasy about stomping people's heads. So something where I would be a skull crusher of sorts. Just good pair of boots. Just smashing them. That's probably what I would do.
Nothing wrong with that.
Good solid pair of demonias.
Yes, exactly.
I've got four pairs. That's why I said that.
Okay, I've got one. I only have one, but man, I would love to have more.
Okay, Skull Crusher. Once again, we've been doing this since about episode 50.
Mm-hmm,
we've never had a duplicate answer.
And that's awesome. Oh. You're
going to be episode 130.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if anyone else wanted to crush skulls.
Nope. not with their foot.
No, not the feet.
I mean, we've had the sledgehammers and the axes and all that to the head, but never a curb stomp.
Just, yes, exactly. A pure American History X curb stomp. That's what I'm talking about.
So, Sid, how can people find out more about you? Maybe about some of your bookings, about Reality of Wrestling. What's the social media happenings?
So I am on Twitter. That's where you're going to get most of your information on where I will be. And that is at Insidious Sid Mars, but there's only one S in between. So it's Insidious, and that shares the S in Sid. So I think that my little handle that I put on here is that at Insidious Sid Mars. And then I also do have Instagram, where I kind of just post more day in the life stuff, a little bit more fun, some great action shots. And here and there, I'll post flyers. But like I said, Twitter is kind of the place to be for whenever I'm letting y'all know where I'm going to be, what podcasts I'm going to be on next. Obviously, now that I talk, there's going to be a lot more to learn about Sid, a lot more. So I believe the Instagram handle is Insidious_1_. I also have a Facebook page as well. If you just look at the Insidious one, you'll find that one there. I also do post event pages there. So I'll share the events where you can get all the information for where to be. So it won't just be flyers, but you'll actually have the ability to say whether you're going or interested. So check that out. I've got a Facebook page under just the Insidious one. Got my Instagram, which is Insidious_1_. And that's not the number one. It is the word one. And also, though, for booking purposes, anyone that wants to book me, it is bookinsidious1@gmail.com. That's bookinsidious1@gmail.com.
Which, amazingly enough, is how I found you.
Yes.
So are you, as far as bookings go, are you taking bookies wherever they're going to book you, or do you have limitations as far as travel goes, things like that?
I will take them anywhere. I've even worked out in London, and I really want to go to Canada. So I'm willing and ready to travel really anywhere and try to just get out there. I mean, I work pretty centralized in Texas a lot of the time because we have so many indie promotions, so many great promotions, and so many opportunities here. But yeah, I'm ready to fight anywhere, anytime. So upcoming, I don't have a whole lot of bookings because I try to be careful with COVID. So I've got two coming up this coming Saturday, Reality Wrestling in Canton, Texas. I'll be in a tag match. It'll be me and Mia Friday against Vert Vixen and Rachel Rose. So that should be an interesting mashup. Hopefully I'll bring a little rage out of Mia Friday, see what I can do with that. And then following that, I have the Indie Expo, Wrestling Expo, which is going to be on February 5th. And that'll be a three-way with Killa Kate and Alejandra Lyons. So that should also be a really fun one.
Great. So, Donnie, any last words? Any last questions?
No, I think we got to know her a lot better. That's what we were, that was the goal, was get her out there and get people getting to know her. So I think we did good.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll come back later on and hit her up for some more horror stuff after a while.
Yes, I'd love to come back. This was awesome, guys. Definitely, I've done about three, you're my third podcast now, and I enjoyed the other ones, but this one was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we'll have to have her back for some paranormal talk. We didn't really get into that too much.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do some paranormal talk. Have you done any paranormal stuff?
No, I haven't. I like to watch the shows and stuff, but I haven't had even a lot of paranormal experiences in my life. So I'm jealous of everybody who has. So I like to watch and kind of get and hear other people's stories. It's always so fascinating. I don't know why I'm not like blessed with that. I've never gotten that. Some point in my life, I'm sure I will get my moment, but I haven't gotten it yet.
I have a feeling I'm getting mine in September.
Yeah, I think you are, dude. You need to be ready.
Watch it on video.
All right.
Wow, this has been an awesome interview. Sid, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here with Donnie and I on Wrestle Horror. We definitely look forward to hearing from you again, and we'll talk again. Maybe we'll do a little more paranormal, like Donnie said, and you know, maybe we'll have some video footage from the Conjuring House to kind of feed in there. And it's been fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the discourse. And like I said, I'm ready to talk horror anytime. I like weird, obscure ones. So I didn't even get to talk about anime horror. So next time I can give all kinds of anime horror.
There you go. All right.
I'm down for that. So for myself, Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest, the insidious one, Sid Mars, this is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.wrestlehorror.com.